vitamins today.
We have Greg Bishop back after somewhat of an absence. You see, Greg Bishop, among all our guests, has a real life. You know, he doesn't just write books and talk about UFOs and paranormal thingies. He actually has a real life. And he does
real things. I thought that was real life.
It is, but, you know, I'm talking about you have a regular job and you do regular stuff. And then every so often you get together with us, and we're always happy to have you on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Greg Bishop is our co-host. We'll bring on our special, special, special guest in a few moments. But Greg, inasmuch as it's been quite a while since we talked to you, what have you been up to lately in the paranormal realm?
Not very damn much. However, I am writing a treatment for a film. I'm working on the beginnings of a book that I want to co-write with somebody, and possibly a fiction book, which I still keep mentioning that I was going to write with Mac Tonies, but Mac is not around.
You can use a Ouija board and channel Mac Tonies and have him help you.
Yeah, but, you know, the Ouija board is a very bad receiver, so I don't know what I'm getting.
Right, you know, Mac would understand, though. I think Mac was the kind of cool guy who would have understood something like that.
Well, maybe, but he also, I don't know how much control he has of who's claiming to be him from the other side. But that, like I just said, that might make it better.
So do you have a co-author for your UFO book yet?
Which UFO book? The one I just mentioned?
Yes.
Yes, I do, but I don't want to talk about it. And it's not somebody famous or anything, anybody knows. It's just basically based on somebody that we met years ago. I think I've mentioned it before, the guy that was from Naval Intelligence that freaked us all out.
Tell our listeners, kind of recap this, because we have so many new listeners because of our presence on the GCN network. Not everybody knows every in-joke, every in-comment, so maybe a little bit of reflection here.
Well, it wasn't really an in-joke. It's more like, a long time ago, I published a magazine called The Excluded Middle. It's still online. You can find it under excludedmiddle.com. But I attracted anything from total wackos to extremely serious researchers to intelligence people. One of them was a guy who claimed he's from Naval Intelligence and told me all kinds of strange things, made me totally paranoid, had me, you know, looking out my window at night, wondering who was calling me at all hours of the day or night. It basically made me a raving paranoid for about a year. Then I got over it. But he's also a fascinating character who wasn't exactly who he claimed to be. But that didn't make it any less fascinating or any less of a learning experience and any less, you know, it made my life much richer. When people say, you know, why do you allow yourself to be strung along by these people? Well, I did for a while, but I did because I wanted to be strung along. And then later I realized I didn't have to take everything so damn seriously. And at that point realized that I'd learned quite a lot from this guy. And that's what the book is about.
Okay, is he someone genuinely involved or knowledgeable in the paranormal realm?
Well, he was, but what he claimed to be is from from Naval Intelligence, and it turned out he was not in Naval Intelligence, but he was very closely associated with somebody in it, to the point where he knew things that most people shouldn't know. He was more interested in the government UFO angle, not so much in the paranormal angle, and that's how he approached it, and that's how he approached us with it.
You know, I'm starting to think of that guy that Anthony Sanchez was talking about when he was on the show just a couple of weeks ago with Chris O'Brien. He was talking about maybe a Colonel X, a whistleblower who knew all about Dulce, New Mexico. And I kind of thought, you know what? I think Anthony is the kind of fellow that someone pulled the wool over his eyes. That's what it was all about.
I didn't hear that interview. I have had some emails with Anthony. The impression that I get from talking to Chris and from what I've heard and from the little contact I've had with him is that he, you know, fulfills what a lot of insider people want to do, is somebody who really wants to listen, really wants to get the person's story out, and unfortunately probably doesn't really have any way, or maybe doesn't even care to check out if there's anything to the story. I mean, for what the guy said, there really is no way to check it out. It's just an interesting story, like Serpo and like Paul Benowitz's stuff and like, oh God, you know, countless of these UFO and paranormal stories, which are impossible to check out or nearly impossible. So, you know, I think that's how you should take it. It's just as an interesting story, file it away and see if something interesting comes up later that will shore it up or support it.
I was thinking of Walter Bosley, your cohort or sometimes cohort, somebody who has real experience in terms of the military and intelligence, so maybe he's telling some interesting stories.
Yeah, well, he is telling interesting stories, and I am convinced that he is convinced about these stories. But the other thing is, he realizes that I don't really totally believe what's going on. I listen. I think it's fascinating if it is true. But I don't totally believe it. And he's okay with that, which is why he's remained my friend and what a lot of people don't understand about Walter. Like, he can say whatever he wants, and if you don't believe him, fine, you don't believe him.
I know he hangs out occasionally. He hangs out occasionally in the Paracast forums at forum.paracast.com, and he answers your questions. I mean, he'll answer anything as long as you're not insulting about it. You know, you want to know about his experiences, about his background. If there's nothing that he can't talk about, he'll be happy to say so. And he seems like a pleasant enough guy, and it's up to you, listeners, if you want to believe what he says or not. I think that gets into this dichotomy we have amongst our listeners here. We bring people with fascinating stories, like Walter Bosley, David Hatcher Childress, and a number of others, and they have a wide range of really solid experiences. They've done their homework. They're certainly sincere, but sometimes our listeners say, you know what, we want the Mike Wallace kind of questions here. I hesitate to use the name Bill O'Reilly kind of questioning because I want to go back to a more traditional kind of journalism.
Well, you can mix them in. I mean, on my show, I have the Mike Wallace questions, and I also have the questions that I want to hear the answers to. And not all of those are, I totally believe you, or I think you're totally full of crap. It's just questions that I want to hear. I want to hear what they have to say about what their story is. And I turn off the filter for quite a while because I just want to hear what they have to say. There might be something interesting or good or traceable or whatever in that, or something more importantly, which is more important to me.
And that's an issue, too. You know, one that we mentioned with our listeners as part of our ongoing dialogue in the forums and in the emails we get, whether we should sometimes ask them, turn off the filters. You know, we have a Jim Mars on the show. We had Jim Mars with Frank Warren on the show a few months back, and Jim has lots of fascinating stories to tell, and I gather he doesn't have the filters on all the time either. I mean, there are interesting conspiracy theories, and as a matter of fact, our guest tonight is certainly going to be someone who could acquaint us with a few interesting tales and stories.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to turn those filters off. As a matter of fact, before we get into the next segment of the show, before we introduce our guest, tell us about who he is and about his background.
Well, this is Adam Gorightly. He's been a friend of mine since the mid-90s, I think, maybe even early 90s. I first met him when we all had a group, a loosely associated group called the Kooks, who are basically writers, artists, photographers, publishers, etc., who are interested in UFOs, the paranormal, and how it affected us. And we'd get together every year for a camp out, which we called the Kook Out, and talk about all this stuff and basically have fun and hook up with people before there was an internet, or at least much of an internet. And since then, he's written something like 4 or 5 books, ranging on everything from the Manson family to Carrie Thornley to conspiracy theorists. And very well versed in all these areas in a slightly different way than I am. I wanted to ask him about his talk called "Were the 1950s Contactees Ritual Magicians?" which I thought was a really interesting idea.
What? Ritual magicians?
Yes, in the Western magical, you know, occult way. He had this strange idea. Let's compare their actions to those of ritual magicians like Aleister Crowley and people like that. And
in other words, people
kind of
like George Adamski and Dan Fry and those people. You know what? Adam Gorightly is going to be joining us on the Paracast for his first appearance. It's a long time coming. A reminder, neighbors, we welcome your input. We want to hear from you. If you have some comments or questions about what you hear on the Paracast, send them to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. Our co-host is Greg Bishop. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, separating signal from noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Vadini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're joined after really a long time, and I wanted to get this guy on the show for a while, and it just didn't work out with the scheduling. Adam Gorightly. Our co-host is Greg Bishop. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And I was looking over your bio or about us section on your site, Adam, and it says you have been a chronicler of fringe culture in an illuminating manner. So we love the illumination, but what do you consider fringe culture?
Well, that was my own propaganda there, the illuminating manner. But I started back with the zine movement in the late 80s, early 90s. Mr. Bishop there was part of that scene. I wrote for his magazine and a bunch, Crash Collusion, Paranoia Magazine, UFO Magazine, quite a bit of different things. And fringe topics, you know, back then, writing about conspiracies definitely was fringy, and the intersection between UFOs and psychedelics, that's kind of what got me interested in that underground movement. Back then there was a magazine called Crash Collusion that I happened to stumble upon, and it advertised itself as, you know, looking into these areas, UFOs and psychedelics and the paranormal. So during that period, the late 80s, early 90s, there was more people getting interested in these quote-unquote fringe topics. So I started writing for all these different magazines about fringe topics and strange people and my own experiences, which were rather odd as well, I chronicle.
All right, well, let's just get to that then. You know, I don't have any real UFO or paranormal experiences to speak of. I have, shall we say, some that might be borderline. But okay, Adam, tell us, what kind of weird experiences have you had? Maybe go into the first one. How old were you and what happened?
Ooh, I usually jump into the later ones. As a child, I remember a few things that stick in my mind. One was in kindergarten. I've never really talked about this before, but it was we were doing finger painting one day, and I must have gone into a trance state or something and went inside that finger painting, and it was like going into another world. You know, in childhood, you have these type of reveries, these experiences, but that was an early thing. I remember another time I had a dachshund dog named Herman, and I started staring into Herman's eyes one time, and I went deep into Herman's brain. So these are early odd experiences that come into mind. It wasn't later until I was in my late teens that I had a psychedelic UFO encounter, which has really deeply influenced all of my later work and my interest in these areas.
Now, why do you call it a psychedelic UFO encounter? I hope not because you were taking psychedelics.
Well, Gene, I must admit I was.
Well, you know, I know about those things, but once you get into, of course, by reputation, I can't say I took them. Yes, I did. You know, I did everything in the 70s and 60s. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not doing them now, or people think I'm doing them, but I don't want to confirm their knowledge. But okay, you were under the influence of something, and something happened, so the obvious response someone would say is, well, it wasn't real, it was an illusion. What makes you think it's more than that?
Let me set the stage a little bit, and this is something I've talked about quite a bit over the years. One thing that makes me think it was more than an illusion or disillusion was that it was experienced with a friend of mine, and we were both admittedly under the influence of a certain hallucinogenic that starts with the letter L. But let me also mention that it's been a long, long time since I've delved in and used any mind-expanding agents. This was late 70s, so do the math. So on the night in question, we were at a party, and we took the stuff, and it was getting a bit intense, and we just said, let's get out of here. Let's get outside, just go for a walk. And during that period, the 70s, there was a lot of things in the air with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, movies of that nature. We both had a yearning to see UFOs, so to try to make this brief as possible, we were walking along and almost to a levee, a ditch bank, and I said to my friend, what if we saw some UFOs right now? Nobody'd believe us. And we both started laughing somewhat uncontrollably. Got up on the levee ditch bank. Within 5 or 10 minutes, we saw our first UFO. And as we were seeing these things, we were describing them back and forth to each other, recounting, describing the same things. And we saw a number of different UFOs that night, a cigar-shaped UFO, your classic saucer shape, but even weirder, cartoonish, psychedelic things with multicolored propellers. And we're both back and forth describing these images to each other. And the first one was so powerful, it made me fall to one knee. Now, what's, you know, odd about this, if it was a hallucination, it was a dual hallucination. You know, I think it's indeed possible that, you know, both of us, we're still good friends to this day. We write music together. There's a simpatico there that we might have been telepathically beaming these images in our mind. But, you know, they were indeed powerful. And to this day, both my friend and I have those images still deeply ingrained in our mind, and it still affects me to this day.
Well, of course, the most obvious question would be, how do you know, my friend, it was all real?
Oh, well, is it real a loaded word in the sense of maybe my reality obviously is not the same as anybody else's, and what we saw, it seems real to me and real to my friend, but maybe it was just for us to see. You know, I've theorized a lot over the years what we might have indeed saw. And, you know, one logical explanation, John Keel talked about a super spectrum when you, a window, you know, much like UFO windows that people can peer through, that can be opened up through trance states, or the same thing that psychics are able to see into a window, like tuning in a frequency of a radio. Perhaps, you know, that's what we did in that state of mind. I mentioned before that before we even saw these things, I said, what if we saw some UFOs tonight? Nobody'd ever believe us. And I think what I might have done there is plant a seed, a sort of magical ritual, in effect. And that's one of my theories, that unwittingly, with the use of drugs and entering this trance state, and setting up what they call the magician's intent, that's what we unwittingly did. We basically performed a magic ritual and conjured these UFOs, whatever they are. You know, they might be our own minds talking to each other. They might be ghosts. They might be the ultra-dimensional.
The long and short of it is, Adam, you believe that there was some real cause. It wasn't just a couple of guys tripping and seeing things. We'll get into more of that in a moment. Adam Gorightly joining us. Our co-host is Greg Bishop. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio? G-C-N. The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Greg Bishop's our co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. Adam Gorightly joining us. On his site, he refers to himself as a certified crackpot historian. 23rd degree Discordian. I have to ask what a 23rd degree Discordian is.
A bit of a joke there. Obviously, I remember when I originally wrote that text, I referred to myself as a 33rd degree Mason just to see what kind of reaction I could get from people. Then I later changed it to a 23rd Discordian. And Discordianism, well, I deal with that subject in my book, The Prankster and the Conspiracy, the story of Kerry Thornley and how he met Oswald and inspired the counterculture, where I basically give a little history lesson on the Discordian movements and the life and times of Kerry Thornley. So I guess the question is, what is a Discordian? And I probably need to share the history. It was in the late 50s that this guy, Kerry Thornley, who grew up there in Southern California, in Whittier, hometown of Richard Nixon as well, in the late 50s.
Well, that makes a strange place to begin with before we go on.
Yeah. So in the late 50s, Thornley and a buddy of his, Greg Hill, they were into odd stuff. They went on little outings. In fact, they went and visited the Flying Saucer cult, Understanding, which was started by, what's the guy? Was that Fry? I think it was Daniel Fry's Understanding. So they were into odd, weird stuff, and they spent a lot of time in bowling alleys in there drinking numerous cups of coffee, or sometimes I heard the story was they liked bowling alleys because they were able to buy...
By the way, before we go on, yes, it was Daniel Fry and Understanding. George W. Van Tassel had his own stuff going on, but it was Dan Fry.
Yeah. And so these two young men started these conversations about different philosophical conversations, and one had to do with the theory of chaos in the world. There was too much chaos in the world, one of them said, and the other countered, there wasn't enough chaos in the world, that chaos keeps things interesting, and that they should start a religion on that theme, worshiping the Greek goddess of chaos and discord by the name of Eris. And she is an actual goddess in the lexicon of Greek mythology. And so allegedly the two lads at some point had a reverie or a mystical vision in this bowling alley, which led them to form the Discordian Society. This was in the late 50s, and over the years the Discordian Society really started out as a small this four or five people close-knit group. It was kind of an in-joke, and they wrote their own Bible called the Principia Discordia. As time evolved in the 60s, counterculture evolved, they came out with different publications, different editions of the Principia Discordia, and became sort of an underground classic, and other people got involved in the scene, like Robert Anton Wilson and Robert Shea, the authors of the Illuminatus Trilogy, and they ended up dedicating, in fact, the Illuminatus Trilogy, the first volume, to Mr. Thornley and Mr. Hill, the progenitors of Discordianism religion.
You know, it sounds like it started off as a goof.
It was a goof, and it kind of took on a life of its own. In the early days, they wrote a lot of religious texts to go along with the book. It was kind of formalized. They would initiate people into the religion, and everybody in the religion had their own goofy names. Kerry Thornley was Omar Khayyam Ravenhurst, and Greg Hill was Malaclips the Younger, and even I, now I'm a member of the Discordian Society, and my name is my Discordian name is the Wrong Reverend Houdini Kundalini of the Church of Unwavering Indifference. And so, as you said, it began as a spoof that grew into a perhaps much larger spoof. If you get on the internet today and type in Discordianism, you can see there's still a lot of different groups involved in the scene.
Hmm. Okay, so let's kind of move over. We had your psychedelic experience. You saw things that you kind of took seriously, or more than took seriously.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that my first wife, Geneva, once took something that supposedly was so mild and so impure that it affected nobody else except her. And she went off into almost another world for a while, had this incredible illumination, and it really changed her life for a number of years. And as I said, it doesn't seem to have been precipitated by this psychedelic that much, because those of us who tried that psychedelic were barely affected by it, except for her. Never happened to her since. She tried for years to regain that feeling. Didn't happen.
Some people are more sensitive. Perhaps it was the right moment in the right space for her own mystical experience. So you don't have to, you don't need to open that door up more than once, perhaps.
Well, that is a big question here, and I think we've mentioned it on the PowerCast before. When you take this kind of material, these kinds of drugs, what are you opening yourself up to?
Well, that is that is indeed the question. You could be opening yourself up to some bad juju. I think, these type of things, LSD, the mushrooms, ayahuasca, which a lot of people are going to South America now and having these visionary states, they definitely have their place, and there's they're tools we can still use to today, you know, but Larry back in his day kind of had it right, that it's tied into being prepared for these experiences, having the proper set and setting, the frame of mind. It's like a, if you approach it like a shamanic experience, then there should be a lot of preparation that goes along with this, just not willy-nilly dispensing of drugs for kicks.
You know what? I know Greg's been quiet about this, but Greg, I'm going to ask you. We have maybe a minute or 2 minutes for this segment. Have you pursued this very much, this kind of illumination?
Yeah, well, it's just like Adam has and you had it. I did, but it was a while ago. And it's funny you talk about this kind of stuff, and it's hard to describe it to people that haven't been through it. And if you have been through it, you get sort of a lexicon and sort of a shorthand for, you know, something that everybody experiences when they do these things. And mainly it's just that the, you know, reality gets turned on its head and you start to have a really strange definition of reality, at least for a while. And if you're lucky, it sticks with you. And yeah, it's not for everybody. And you do have to be, I guess, sort of a little brave to go ahead with it, because
or a little
you don't
bit
know
crazy,
exactly what's going to happen.
A little bit nuts, maybe.
Maybe a little bit nuts, because you don't know what's going to happen, and you have to be okay with that.
And the other question is, when you do undergo these experiences, the question that arises, and maybe some people listen to this say, oh, these people are from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they're just a band of former hippies just trying to remember their glory days. Not quite. We're trying to explore what it all means, and the question is the reality that we see under these influences. And lots of cultures have tried different ways to get these sensations, these feelings, these experiences. And sometimes it's done with meditation, sometimes with external substances. But the question always is, are you seeing then some kind of faux reality, or is that the real reality? And maybe this is, as they say, the matrix existence. Adam Gorightly joining us. Greg Bishop is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hello from eFoods Direct. The end of October is around the corner, and there's no shortage of frightening news these days. Global financial meltdown, saber-rattling with Iran and other nations, worldwide drought and food shortages, more than 40 million Americans on food stamps, and tens of millions unemployed. Have eFoods Direct help ease your fears this fall season with free shipping on all orders placed between now and November 1st. Every dollar you spend will buy food, and eFoods Direct will pay for the shipping throughout the continental United States. When you have a supply of delicious, nutritious food from eFoods Direct, your future is fearless and the shipping is free. That's free shipping on all eFoods Direct food products. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Adam Gorightly is joining us. We have Greg Bishop and his familiar that makes that squawking sound joining us. Hey, that's even better than the trickster sounds that Chris O'Brien does.
What do you? I was going to use it on my show, but it's making its debut here on the Paracast. Yeah, all right.
All right, you know, pipe down, guys. We have to do a serious radio show here, I hope.
Yeah.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Greg, you pick up the question, please.
What I'd like to know, Mr. Gorightly, if that is your name, what kind of inspired you in the first place? You know, why did we meet up? Why were you reading these magazines? Why, you know, what? Why do people get interested in this weird stuff? For you, maybe.
I probably was just born weird, Greg. My own personal experience, we talked about the weirdo psychedelic UFO thing. I had some astral projection experiences.
Spontaneous?
Yes.
And, how old were you?
Those happened roughly around the same period, or a little bit after my psychedelic UFO experience.
Oh, and, okay.
And so, I mean, we can talk about that.
Sure,
now.
Let's do it.
Okay. Oh, boy, this is another thing where perhaps did I plant a seed for this weird experience to happen? Reading a lot of strange books in my teens about different paranormal things, experiences, reading about whatever, auras and ectoplasm and astral projection. And so I was looking for perhaps techniques to astral project, and my mind was kind of focusing in on that. A lot of diverse books on this subject, and I didn't find any particular techniques that really laid it out exactly, but I read books describing the experience. One of them mentioned a pins and needles effect that you felt before leaving the body. So I kind of remembered that. And so over a period of time, it was probably about, 3 or 4 months, I was 19 or 20, I started having these experiences, and I'm laying in the bed, of course, and everything appears to look the same. There's nothing weird or out of place like in a dream. But then I hear the sound of whooshing and an electrical current would shoot through my body, and this kind of lockjaw effect would start. Then I would apparently leave my body, and I initially, some of the first ones, I just levitated up a few feet above my body, and then the later ones I tried to move about the room and kind of fly about the room. I don't think I ever actually left the room, and so as these experiences progressed, they got progressively weirder and scarier. And some of the last ones, when I'd hear the electrical whooshing sound that would take me into the experience, I started hearing these strange, almost demonic voices. And at that point, you know, it so frightened me, these experiences, that I made a conscious effort not to astral project anymore. And in fact, that was kind of the last of those experiences. So in looking in these in retrospect, you know, with my UFO experiences, I never considered myself an abductee or this type of things, but I kind of looked at that in another light, and, you know, maybe that could be related to the UFO experiences and what some people perceive as an abductee experience.
So basically here, instead of having E.T. grab them out of their bed and take them through the walls or the ceilings, they astrally project themselves. But of course, we can also say, you know what, maybe you're just dreaming.
I could have been dreaming. That's very true. It's just the intensity and the uniqueness of these experiences, that lockjaw feeling, you know, being awake 1 minute and the sensation of this electrical current and all this. And I read some astral projection accounts later, and they described a lot of the same things. So who knows? It was definitely an odd experience. I've had nothing like it since. I should mention one other experience that was a dream, but then I can still visualize it today. Do we got time to go into that?
Oh, please, we have plenty of time. Just tell us about the experiences.
I was, this was around the same period, probably as 19 or 20, and it was a hot Central California night, so I decided to go. I was living with my parents in a residential section of town in the suburbs. Went outside, and there was a, slept that night, there was a chaise lounge outside, so I laid down on that. And then apparently went to sleep and woke up in a dream state, but I was in the exact same position, laying on the chaise lounge with the same blanket. Nothing was weird or out of place, you know, like things are often are in dreams. It would appear I was in a dream state, because at that point, a huge mothership-looking UFO thing descended down from the east into my backyard. You know, it was one of those huge mothership-type things out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Once again, everything in the dream was exactly the same as it was in real life, except that big UFO. So I'm laying there looking up at the thing, and I feel a tap on my right shoulder, and I jerk over and I wake up, and there's nobody there. Of course, the UFO is gone, but everything else is exactly like it was in the dream. Now, some people might interpret that as abduction experience, or perhaps could be related to it, and I'm sure if I went to the right UFO abduction regression person, they could probably lead me to believe that was a UFO ET type abduction experience.
Well, that gets back to the other thing too. You didn't have anything like missing time where you suddenly were doing something and it was 7 hours later.
No, I've never had any missing time. No.
Okay, because I'm thinking in terms of what people do to recover memories of UFO experiences. But again, this raises a larger dilemma here, the reality of all these things.
Yeah.
Because if it happens when you're going to sleep, well, you know, you're having sleep paralysis, you're having a vivid dream.
Mm-hmm.
We've all dreamed of things that seem to be more real than they should be.
And perhaps that's at the root of this, the whole ET abduction phenomena. I don't necessarily believe or disbelieve in it either, but I could see somebody having these experiences could interpret it as ET's abducting them or whatever, spirits from another realm, or perhaps spirits that are with us all the time. I don't know, so to get back, I guess, to the original question way back when, what led me down this road, and part of it, the paranormal research, were experiences such as these, trying to figure out why, what was behind them. And I don't have any answers. I'm still looking.
So these experiences, it seems like, kind of led you towards questioning what maybe waking reality or shared reality, consensus reality is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still doing it. I mean, I think that's why we first started talking, because we had both had some questions. I never had any weird experiences. I probably just read the same books you did. Maybe I did, and I'm blocking them out. But so you never were inspired to do your own magazine. I noticed you wrote for like just about every zine in the beginning there, in the zine revolution in the late 80s and early 90s. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, I probably had at one point a desire to do a magazine. I kicked that around, but then I realized how much work it was for you guys. So.
complaining.
Yeah, let you guys do the heavy lifting. And
now you just have to create a blog. It's a lot less expensive. Now, understand about Zine Revolution. I was doing magazines before you guys were doing magazines. And
it goes around and comes around.
Exactly. It was very expensive. Now, of course, we create websites and we go to one of our web hosts for $3 a month and we host them, or we have a free site. We have Adam Gorightly, and we're talking about fringe culture, of which we are all a part in one way or another. Greg Bishop is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in.
I mean, the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.